Father, we thank you for the privilege to be in your house today, Lord. It is amazing, Lord, to be able to be free and to worship you and to declare that you're King of our lives, Lord. King of kings and Lord of lords, Lord. And thank you, Lord. I pray that every word that is spoken to the Holy Spirit, that you will be the person, the one that ordains it, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for good ground, Lord. I pray that in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, so let's quickly have a look. Common sense is not faith. And faith is not common sense. Okay, so they are completely different to the point where common sense is reality. Common sense is what we see. Faith is not something that you can see. It's something spiritual. Okay, so that's basically what we're going to look at today. And you can see there's an interesting quote there by a guy that most of us have seen or heard of, Charlie Chaplin. He says, "By simple common sense, I don't believe in God." And it's actually quite funny, if you after today's sermon, we can actually have quite a big laugh about that because the joke is really, really, really on him. So anyway, so let's quickly first look, what is common sense? So when I looked off, when I went onto the internet and I looked for certain definitions, and you know, there's people making comments like, in America, common sense isn't as common as you would think, you know. So there's lots of funny things about common sense, but let's quickly just look at what common sense basically means. So common sense is your natural ability to make good judgments, to behave in a practical and a sensible way. It's an internal sense. So formally believe that all your different senses talking together, coming to a point where you come to a realization of the truth or something that is supposed to be interpreted or understood in a certain way. It is the sense that tells you not to approach a dog that's barking. So if you're standing outside a gate and you see on the other side there's a dog barking and want to come for you, you know, don't go there. It's the same sense that's telling you there's a fire, don't walk into the fire because you're going to get burnt. Okay, so don't jump in that fire. And then also you'll see there, don't walk into moving traffic. So that's sort of, we think, I mean, that's common sense. Why do you have a board like that? So that's sort of the idea. Then if we look at another example of common sense says that we shouldn't do certain things. Okay, we're going to get hurt. Common sense tells us that certain things are inevitable and impossible. Common sense tells you that if you're going to jump out of a plane, you know, you're gonna get seriously hurt, unless your name is Robbie Bat, who had a malfunctioning parachute. That's an amazing testimony. If you haven't spoken to Robbie about his malfunctioning parachute testimony, I want to encourage you, go and drink coffee with him. It really is a miracle story. So if you're not Robbie Bat, common sense will tell you, don't jump out of a plane. Okay, so it's impossible to breathe underwater. I think we're getting the point. What I'm trying to say is common sense is common sense. We all know what common sense is. Now, if we look at faith, what is faith? And there's obviously a certain scripture that I think we've all heard. I exaggerate a little bit, a million times or maybe a thousand times or hundreds of times. But basically, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Okay, so faith is believing what is true, and it's got two elements, I believe. Obviously, this is now in terms of my interpretation and what I believe is necessary to convey today's message. So I'm sure there's lots of other opinions in terms of how many things is faith is made up, etc. But for today's purpose, I'm saying that faith has got two elements. It's being convinced of the truth, okay? In order for us to be able to take a position of faith, you need to have an absolute convincing in your heart that you need to be sure of reality, having evidence of unseen things. It's like your belief must be so certain. It's as if the person is standing right in front of you. It's as if you have seen it already happen, even though it hasn't happened. And the second thing is believing or hoping in or embracing and basically seizing that truth. So it's believing in what is true and seizing that truth, believing that that truth is going to happen. It's like you will lay your life down because there's such a certainty, an urgency, and an absolute burning inside of you that you believe that you will lay down your life, that that truth is going to happen. So that's the confidence in which you act when you act in faith. So faith can only, the Bible says, faith can only come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So this is basically saying that when we hear from God, and I believe when Yaku shared his testimony, maybe obviously because of time, he would have acted from a place of confidence, knowing that God will provide. Either because God has provided in the past, and he took that sense of step of faith, or he really felt the Lord said to him, you needed to buy that bucky, okay? He's convinced the Lord told him and his wife, you need to buy that bucky. He's convinced that the Lord told them to start that business. And if he is so sure of those two truths, why would the Lord not provide for the bucky's repair work? I mean, it's almost like we can say it's common sense. If the Lord said so, he can act in faith because he believes with his whole heart. The Lord said, you start the business, you buy the bucky. If the bucky is broken, I acted in faith. And he's got such a belief in his heart. Okay, so it comes by hearing. Start the business, buy the bucky. And hearing the word of God. So God might have spoken to him. I didn't hear the full testimony. So you hear the word, you believe it to be true. If you're not going to believe it to be true, you're not going to act. You're not going to take any steps because there might be doubt in your heart. Even you believe it to be true, even though it may be unseen. So you don't see, you haven't spoken to a friend that's going to say, okay, I'll go and pray about providing for paying for the bucky. You believe it to be true. And you embrace that truth and you seize that truth. And then we all know the Bible says that it's impossible. It is absolutely impossible to please God without faith. Now, one of the things that excites me about today's message and why I believe it's important, and I'll elaborate a little bit more, why do I look at comparing common sense and faith? But I think a lot of the themes in the church at Convergence, we've spoken about it in church. Helmut has spoken about it this morning again. But we're moving more and more into a time where it's getting more and more difficult. All our belief systems, everything we believe in, everything we do, everything we as Christians believe to be true is under attack. And it's going to get worse and worse and worse. I don't want to go too much off the point, but I said we were at Rayan and Elsa Marie last night. And some of you might know, but Rayan, they started the non-profit organization called Cause for Justice, and they're doing amazing work. And he was just sharing something with us that was quite scary for me. They were invited to the Wilberforce Academy at Cambridge in the UK, I think about a month or two ago. There were three or four people from South Africa. And they went there, and they were talking about a certain, I'm not sure how much I can share, but basically they were talking about there's a certain organization based in the UK that's got a strategy for every single country in the world on how they're going to infiltrate and basically declare that if you're a man or a woman, you can decide whether you're a man or a woman. You can decide whether you're a woman or a man. They even go so far to say, but you can actually decide if you're a 50-year-old man to say that I'm a 6-year-old daughter and people cannot discriminate or say to you, you need mental help. So he obviously elaborated quite a bit on that, but it's a massive attack that's happening worldwide, and we see a lot of attack in that area. But basically, he said then on the document, he saw that one of the strategies is they've got, I'm not going to mention a certain company's name, but anyway, his wife works for that company. So that company's name was on that document where they say they're going to be infiltrating South Africa through that company. So he came back, and I think he just told his wife, Elsa Marie, and Elsa Marie said to him, you won't believe it. In this week, I logged into my email, and I got an assignment for e-training, e-learning. I'm not sure which of your companies do that. And she had to go and do a module on gender identification. And she had to basically sign a document at the end saying that you cannot say that if a man wants to be a woman, that he cannot, he's not a woman. If he wants to, if he's, even if he's got a man body and he says he's a woman, then everybody must treat him as a woman and he must be recognized as a woman. If he says he's a child, it was scary. So anyway, I said I'm not going to get too much off the track and I'm already far off it. But I think the point that I'm trying to make is the times we're living is going to become more and more difficult to live if we cannot distinguish between common sense and faith and knowing and learning how to act in faith. Okay, so what's the point? I just said now basically why I need to look at, or we need to look at today at comparing these two. Christians seem to be confused today whether they should have faith in Christ, okay, or whether they should have faith in Christ that Christ will provide. This is just a certain example that Christ will provide, or use common sense and saying that it can't happen. I think once again I can use Yaku's testimony this morning, which is a good example of whether we should have faith in Christ that he will provide, or use our common sense. Because common sense would have said, I don't see anything, I can't tell the guy to start working on the bucky. Okay, so to common sense, faith is fantasism. So if you're going to talk to someone that's intellectual, that just look at facts, understanding, you're going to say, listen, jy leef in droomland, jy leef in la-la-land. And to faith, common sense is pure reason. So people that act out of faith will say, yeah, but jy redeneer net, man. Jy wil dit uitfigure. You want to figure it out. You're just reasoning the whole time. Faith is never common sense. And common sense is in steep contrast with faith. They are actually very, very opposite of each other. They're in direct competition of each other, faith and common sense. Okay. Now, there's a saying that I got. Not, this isn't mine, I can't claim it, but it's something that I think is extremely important. It was one of those aha moments for me when I read this, and I'm going to read it because I don't want to get it wrong. So it says here that nothing Jesus ever said, is it there? Yeah. Nothing Jesus ever said was common sense. It was revelation sense. His words are spirit and life, and they are meant to reach beyond the veil where common sense can go. And what I just felt the Lord was saying to me is, it's amazing. This the most clever person on earth, in other words, let's say some person have the capacity, a professor or a doctor or whoever, the cleverest guy in the world can go, and he can read all the material of everything that can be understood. He's still going to reach a point where there's a veil. And he cannot go beyond that veil unless he's got the Holy Spirit. He can only gather so much information. And he can make his decisions based on the information that he's got. But it's only up to a certain point. And the Word of God and the truth goes beyond that veil. It goes far beyond that veil because God is the one that ordains the truth. And that can go far beyond where our understanding can go. Okay, so the challenge is that faith must be exercised before the reality of faith, before it can come a reality in our life, before the reality of faith actually is birthed in our life. We have to exercise faith. Every time we venture out in faith, not sometimes, not maybe, not once in a while, every single time we venture out in faith, we will find something that from a common sense point of view, will contradict our faith. So, I believe every time a decision requires us to take a step of faith, it means that our mind don't have the necessary information to say, it's easy. I mean, if you think about it, if you've gathered all the information and you know what the outcome is going to be based on the information you've got, you don't need to take a step of faith. So if you look at it from the other way around, every time you need to take a step of faith, you actually don't know what the outcome is going to be. And you need to act from a place where you say, I'm going to trust now. I'm going to trust. And what I'm going to look at a bit later is, what brings us to that point of confidence in Jesus that we can take that step of faith? Because we don't have all the information. We don't know what the outcome is. We don't have understanding of where this is going to end. Can we trust Jesus, even though the reason cannot understand him? Can we venture out with courage on the words of Jesus while our minds and the world is shouting, it's a lie? You're going to burn your fingers. Is jy van jou kop af? You're going to have people at work saying, is jy heeltemal van jou looikie getik? Can you hear what you're saying? Do you realize that you are telling me that you are going to do this? And then we can say, this is what the Lord told me. And we're going to look at now, but how do we get at that point where I can say, I'm going to do this because I know that I know, just like you're standing in front of me, it's going to happen. Okay, so we're going to look at a few quotes now. So I want to apologize for the first one, but I felt the impact is, anyway, let's look at it. Martin Luther said, reason or common sense is the lady of the night, the greatest enemy that faith has. It never comes to the aid of spiritual things, but more frequently than not, struggles against the divine word, treating with contempt all that emanates from God. And I think this is sort of, if you look at where he spoke from, this quote, he's so serious about the threat of common sense. He's saying, listen guys, if we're not going to be very, very careful for what the world and our mind is saying to us when we're in a situation, we need to realize we cannot act on common sense, because common sense and God is in direct competition of each other sometimes when the Lord requires us. I'm not saying never use your common sense. You guys understand where I'm coming from. I'm not saying if we believe the Lord's saying jump in the fire, I mean, that's a discussion for another day. But the point I'm trying to make is common sense will most of times challenge us when we're in a position where we believe the Lord is saying take a step of faith. Okay, the second one, the merely intellectual man, this is in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 14, the merely intellectual man, the guy that's got all the books, he's got all the knowledge, he figures out things in his head, that guy rejects the teaching of the Spirit of God, for to him it is mere folly. He cannot grasp it because it is to be understood only, I want to say, beyond the veil. If you understand what I'm saying. It's only to be understood by spiritual insight. The merely intellectual man cannot go beyond that veil. He cannot go beyond that point where his reason is saying to him, it doesn't make sense. The Bible is not supposed to make sense. It's supposed to make faith. I think that was quite a nice one. So if you challenge and you say to yourself, it doesn't make sense, then you must say, listen, I remember that quote. I'm not even going to try and pronounce the guy's name because my Afrikaanse uitspraak. I must tell you, sorry, this is now once again wandering off a little bit. So we've got, for Convergence, we hosted two ladies from London, from our show for London. And I was telling them, the first time we went to visit friends of ours in the UK, Melanie and I were just married. And I introduced myself to a lady from England. And I said, hello, I'm Heinrich Gericke. And she started bursting out laughing. And she said, say it again, say it again. And I was like, I looked at my wife and I said, my name is Heinrich Gericke. And she couldn't get the, she just started almost crying of laughing. So anyway, that was quite an interesting experience. The next quote, we should take care not to make the intellect our God. What's interesting is this quote is from Albert Einstein, saying, we should take care not to make the intellect our God. It has, of course, powerful muscles, but it's got absolutely no personality. Okay. Now, we can endure. When can we endure? When can we carry on? When can we start moving from that place where we believe? If our faith is built upon the solid rock of his voice, if our faith is built upon a revelation that we believe, this is the word that the Lord has given me. Faith, the Bible says, comes from hearing, and hearing from the word of Christ, according to Romans 10:17. We are then to prove in practical experience what we hear from God in private. To turn faith into a real personal possession is always a fight. Not sometimes. It's always going to be, man, it doesn't make sense. I know I must do this. I believe the Lord said this, but what if? What up, you know, what are my parents going to say? What is, you know, it doesn't make sense. I mean, my common sense is telling me that, and I'm talking now about a person that believes that the Lord has spoken to us, okay? From a point where we know that's the truth. It's not sometimes a fight, it's always a fight. This conflict activates our faith, okay? Because the nature of faith is always intended to bring God's reality. The nature of faith is to bring God's reality into a disobedient world, into this world. I spoke about Ryan, and the testimony of what's happening is, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, you know, I thought I wanted to share a couple of testimonies, and this is not to say that I'm getting it right, because I can tell you, if you talk to all my cell people, Michael and Johannes and Hendrik and Amal, and for my goeie vriende, he's by for my goeie vriende, I definitely don't get it right. But what I can testify of is, and I thought it's maybe a good example, because our church is going through a period of lots of children, etc. So, baie van julle weet van die getuienisse, maar so bear with me, please. But I thought I wanted to share our testimony of faith with our three kids and what happened, and with each one of them. So, if we can look at the testimony page, yes, let's go there. Edelweiss. Oh, so our first pregnancy, we really trusted the Lord to get pregnant, and it took a while, and I'm not allowed to make jokes now. My wife gets, anyway, kom ons gaan aan. My friend, they ken my, hulle weet ek sal, anyway, okay, ons gaan aan. So we fall pregnant, and we're very excited, and the doctor, I still remember the doctor, Dr. Albertine, said to us, listen, if you had to write a book about a pregnancy, I mean, you can just go and take pictures. This is how it's supposed to happen. Every week, you know, the development of the baby, the growth curves, and everything is just perfect. So, to cut a long story short, on 28 weeks, on 31 weeks, Melanie went for a scan on 28 weeks. The doctor said he's a little bit concerned. Looks like there's some stopping of growing. Anyway, on 31 weeks, Gisela, Marani went for a checkup. 3 days later, she was born. To go back a bit, a month before that, a lady came to us in church, Toulouse. And Toulouse said to me and Marani, she feels that the Lord is saying to us that this little girl is like an Edelweiss flower. Anyway, so we thought, okay, that's interesting. And then, like a good Christian, you're not allowed to laugh now. We said, we're going to pray about it. Thank you very much. So I'm just being honest. I didn't go and pray about it, and I actually forgot about it. Don't do that. Anyway. Then, obviously, with Gisela being born premature, she was 1.1 kilograms. You can go to the next one there. When she was born, very small. The day before she was born, I think Melanie, it must have been Melanie, because I don't remember stuff like that. She said to me, do you remember the word that Toulouse brought us about Gisela being an Edelweiss flower? And I said, yes. So I thought, it's a good time to go and find out, what is an Edelweiss flower? Anyway, to make a long story short, once again, an Edelweiss flower, as you can see in the picture, I think there's a picture if you go back maybe, sorry to go back and forth, guys. This is an Alpe in the Alps. It's a very small, very fine plant, wat in die gehardste omstandighede groei. Okay, so it's a baie fijn, baie klein plankie that grows between, I think, 1.3 and 1.8 kilometer. In the air, it's cold, it's rainy, it's windy. There's tawe omstandighede. Anyway, so I knew when I read it, I said to Melanie, she's going to be fine. The Lord is saying to us, she's going to be small, she's going to be fine, she's going to make it. So when we went into, and Conrad and his wife will I actually get goosebumps when I think about it, will know all the pain, all the frustration, the knock of your faith, you get, you know, people give you word and pray for you, and then the machines still go off, the heart stops beating, the infections come, and all the nonsense that come through it, and, you know, it's really a very bad road to take. But what I can say is, the Lord gave us that hope, And I can honestly say, and you don't need to believe me, but I can say it to you, doesn't matter what happened. If the machine told us her heart stopped beating, whether the path care said to us she's got an infection, whether the doctor said, listen, there's an opening in the heart, there's an opening in the lungs, there's stuff that needs to happen, the chances is very slim. I knew the Lord said to us, she's going to make it. And I can say that if you're in that place where you know that the Lord has given you a word, I can say that you can take a step of faith and know that, listen, the outcome has been, whether I believe it, whether my common sense is telling me, listen, like you goodie, there's something inside of you that says, I know that I know that she's going to be fine. Anyway, I don't need to say anything more. The next picture will say, there she is now, she's 5 years old. And say, like, praise the Here, I say, like, she's on more. dit is rarig vir ons 'n amazing getuienis gewees wat ons wat ons al met baie mense gedeel het, maar dit is rarig net vandag net vir my, en toe ek met die preek voorberei was net weer vir my so, ek wil sê 'n opbouende ervaring gewees om te weet dat die Here is net so amazing en hy kom versterk ons geloof net so. Die volgende getuienis is my oudste bil, Jayden. So, daar sit die mannetjie lekker en lag. Julle sal hom skiel sien, hy's al 'n bietjie groter as dit. Hier so in die kerk. Runs around. Jayden just turned 2 years old now. And I don't want to go into too much detail once again because you get excited about sharing certain things. Where should I start? Basically, Melanie and I decided we're going to adopt a child a couple of years back. And then Margriet spoke and she said, you know, in church, she believes we as church has been called to adopt, you know, children in our congregation and stuff. And Melanie and I spoke again probably about 3 years later. And we were convinced that we're going to go through the adoption process. And the Lord really started something in our heart. And then common sense, and you're going to laugh now, but common sense told me, and our brains is amazing in the sense that common sense told me we're going to get a colored girl from a 16-year-old girl that was on holiday in Sun City and there was a holiday romance and the child is going to come from this environment and we're going to adopt the child for whatever reason. I didn't specifically think that, but for some reason your mind is saying that the child you're going to adopt is going to come from a safe environment. Anyway, so once again, a lot of you know the story. Time passed, and our social worker contacted us, and she's a believer, and she just said to us, listen, there's a boy, and she's excited because she believes the Lord saying this is our child. And so she says to us, I must tell you that his mother is a lady from the street, and she's HIV positive, and, you know, anyway, I don't want to go into too much detail. They don't know who the father is. So my perception, my common sense was saying to me, sure, you know, all of us are saying, yo, that, you know, we're going to adopt a child, but we're not going to adopt, you know, that child, sort of your brain, because it's your brain kicking in. And Melanie and I spoke, and it was so amazing that one thing that I can say with confidence is that we trusted the Lord and we prayed and we said, Lord, we know that you're going to give us the perfect child. That's all we prayed. We didn't ask for a specific child. We didn't ask for a child that's tall or a child that comes from a perfect home or anything. We just said, Lord, you know from the beginning of earth which child is going to come to us and who's going to be our oldest son that's going to carry the family name. And when Esther said to us, Melanie and I said, listen, we believe that this is the child that the Lord has sent us. And we obviously had the privilege, we spoke to Jaco and Margriet and a lot of people, and he's, you know, looking at his, obviously he wasn't HIV positive and all those things, which I didn't know. I mean, it's shocking what your brain tells you, but the point is we the chances of us getting a natural child with a better count, I don't know the medical terms, Dale and all the other doctors will know, Sanet and Amalma, Sanet, not one of our, well, Gisela obviously was born prem, but the chances of a natural birth and a child with the good tellings and, you know, size and health and everything that Jaden had at his birth is not common. So, you know, he was amazing and everything. The Lord really protected him and we took him in. And then we, at a later stage, we just felt that the Lord said to us, and I'm not going to share this testimony for too long because my, you know, our other children is not here. But anyway, I can still share it because then I believe the Lord said to me that he couldn't have given us a child with such a calling out of our own, such a big calling out of our own gene pool. And the amazing thing for me was just once again, the Lord saying that it doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter about anything, who your mother was, who your father was. I've got a calling for you. I've got a calling for you. And Melanie and I can testify, and I know that Willem and Melissa can testify the same and all the other adoptive parents. If there was a million children standing in a queue, we could not have made a better choice. And I can say that, you don't have to believe me, and I can say that with the absolute confidence that I've got in this whole world, saying that I know that the Lord has chosen the perfect child for us. Okay, so now, a bit of free advertisement that I want to give. If the Lord has spoken to you in the past about adopting a child, please come and speak to us, to me or to some of the people that's being that has adopted a child. We really want to pray for you, but I believe that common sense is standing in the way of a lot of things that's stopping us from making the right decisions. Okay, so don't want to say I want to challenge you this morning, but I do want to say that your common sense is going to say to you certain things that's not true. Okay, so then lastly, before we fell pregnant with Gisela, that took a while, like I said previously, and Melanie dreamt of a son, and we got word, my mother and a friend of hers praying for a bow, and she said no, they saw a picture, this is now before we adopted Jaden, they saw a picture of a boy that looks like me and my father. And anyway, to cut a long story short, the words that we got, and Melanie can testify, I knew that we're going to get another son, and I always, you know, said it, I believed it. Anyway, so I come back from a hunting trip. That's why I said to my wife, it's always a good thing to go on a hunting trip because there's something very holy about it. I was by a man wat het verstaan, so it's a very heilige story. We got back, and as I walked in, my wife said to me, you know, we're pregnant. So I said, wow, that's amazing. Because on the way back, and this is also one of those things where, you know, I know some people won't believe me because common sense says it's not true. It can't happen. But I felt when we were on the way back from the hunting trip, that's why I need to go hunting a lot. I felt the Lord was saying to me that Melanie's going to tell me we're pregnant. I didn't know where it came from. I didn't know why. I didn't have any reason to believe it, apart from practical reason. But I just, you know, I just felt she's going to say to me, listen, we're pregnant. And she said to me, listen, we're pregnant. And I knew that it was going to be a boy. And I want to sound arrogant, but because of the dream, and if it wasn't a boy, the next one would have been a boy, not that my wife would be very excited about me speaking about the next one. Anyway, so there was a promise in a dream. And because of that promise, I knew that we're going to get another son, okay? So, very excited. Only bad thing now is that I've only got two rifles. I've got two boys and myself, so I need to buy another rifle. But anyway, that's another problem for another day. I'm joking about it, but yeah, obviously something that you need to do. Let's look at Hebrews 10, verse 23. Believe steadfastly in Him and hold fast to the confession of our hope, unwavering. For the one having promised is faithful. I want to say to you, there's some people that's got a word from the Lord that hasn't come to pass, that hasn't happened yet. But I want to say to you, don't lose your faith. Doesn't matter what common sense is telling you. If you believe the Lord has spoken to you, keep the faith. He is faithful. Faith in the Bible is faith in God against all that contradicts Him. To believe in something or someone is to commit to them. Faith is not just God's specific vehicle for a specific. Faith is not just God's specific vehicle for a specific blessing. And when I say this, we must hear it in terms of Dale's sermon last week. It's not about when God is faithful, it's going to be something of material value, or it's going to be something that the Lord blesses me with. Okay, so you see what I'm trying to get to. Of course, it is that. Okay, it's a specific vehicle for a specific blessing, but it's also much more than that. It's the goal of a committed life lived in submission, trust, and fellowship. The blessing of that life is immense and is eternal. So we must get into a place where we live a life of faith, okay? And we are blessings. We are a blessing. I believe that each and every one of us is a blessing. But if we can live a life where we act out of faith on a constant basis, just imagine how our testimonies are going to look at. Just imagine what the impact is going to be in our workplace, at our holidays. I was sharing, Yolandi and I went for a run the other day. We went for a run, and she was just sharing about someone at work, and you know, and we were talking about how do we reach people. And I said, you know, I don't know. I'm just being honest. I don't know. All I know is we can share testimonies. You know, someone, if I say, listen, this is what happened to us. We prayed for this. This has happened. You know, whether the person, they can't deny the fact that I'm sharing the truth with that person. So also want to encourage you, if you're struggling sometimes to connect with people at work and there's a constant common sense battle, don't go and try and convince someone on common sense. Just share testimonies of what the Lord's doing in your life. Okay, so, and then we're almost done. Faith must be tested because it can only become our intimate possession through conflict, okay? So our faith will be tested. I'm not saying that every time our faith is tested, that's the recipe. I'm not saying it's a specific recipe for certain people. What I do want to say is, and this is also once again an advertisement, I do believe that certain temperaments, certain types of people find it easier to believe certain things. Now, I can say, as an analogy, the wat is daai ouma groen ouerskap kursus, maar ook die tall trees profile gedoen het, dis nou verniet advertensie daarso. Understanding how certain people think. Now there are certain people that your makeup is of such a way that you want it must make sense. Now I'm fortunate to a certain degree because I'm not wired like that, okay? But anyway, that's something that I think it's good to go and understand yourself better. Arme Hinder, ek dink ek hy het hierdie week vir dag en 'n half lank aanlegtoetse en ek weet nie wat se toetse alles gedoen nie, so ek weet nie of hy weet wat hy is op die oomblik nie, want as jy vir dag en 'n half lank moet toetse skryf om jouself beter te verstaan of wat hulle beter kan verstaan, dan sou dit nogal 'n uitdaging wees. Okay, so what I want to ask is, what is challenging your faith today? Go and think about it at home, go and speak to your spouse, go and speak to your friends, go and speak at cell group. What is it today in your life and in my life that is challenging our faith? Okay? The test will either prove your faith right or it will kill it. And then we see in Matthew 11, Jesus said, "Blessed is he who is not offended because of me." Okay, the ultimate thing is confidence in Jesus. Okay, so this is, I said a lot today, but it comes down to this point. If we're not going to be in a place where we have an absolute confidence that Jesus is the truth, Jesus died for us on the cross, and that we believe with everything in us that Jesus is God, and that God sent his Son to die on the cross for us, then we're never really going to be able to get to a place where we can stand and say, I know the Lord spoke to me, and I don't care what circumstances are telling me. I don't care what common sense is telling me, because I know the outcome has been determined. I know that the bucky, the maintenance is being paid for. To have that confidence, we need to know that Jesus is our rock. We need to be in a place where we understand that he is the truth. And if we're not there, the time we're going in, like we said in the beginning, like Helmut said, the time we're living in is going to be very challenging for us. So it's being confident in Jesus. We have become partakers of Christ, according to Hebrews 3 verse 14. If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. So getting the word, knowing that we've got a confidence that the Lord is going to do something, that there's a word. A year goes past. 2 years goes past. However long goes past. Do we steadfastly keep on believing that? Believe steadfastly in Him, and everything that challenges us will strengthen our faith. It's talking about a confidence in Jesus. Now, there's a continual testing in life of faith up to the point of our death, which I think is ultimately the last sort of test of our faith. Is, you know, where are we at one day? You know, what are we doing currently in preparation or leading up to our final death, going home, you know, spending our eternal life with Christ? Faith is absolute trust in God. Trust that could never imagine that He would forsake us. I want to read that again. Faith is absolute trust. Trust that could never imagine that He would forsake us. So faith is basically being in a position that I cannot imagine that God can forsake me. I cannot imagine. I cannot get to a point where there's any doubt in my mind that God is not going to be faithful and come through for me. Okay, so you can put up that last scripture there, and I think we can just read through it and pray a bit. I'm going to pray for us now. I'm basically done, and I'm going to pray for us, and just you can read that scripture there. And I think just bring your own heart, each and every one of us, bring our own hearts before God and say, but God, where am I? Do I have the confidence in the fact that You are true, in the fact that You will never forsake me? You know, what has happened in the past where we acted upon something and the Lord didn't come through for us, is our opinion. You know, were we blessed? Did we expect a blessing to sort of link onto or to connect with Dale's sermon of last week? So I'm going to pray for us, and then, you know, I think we spend another minute or two afterwards, and then I want to invite you afterwards, if you need any prayer, if you want to, you know, just come and talk or something, we're going to be about a couple of people in front to pray with you. So let's quickly close our eyes. Father, we thank You for Your word, and Lord, thank You that I believe, Lord, that today's word, Lord, is so necessary for this time we're living in, Lord. And Lord, I'm the first one to say, Lord, that it's so difficult, Lord, when circumstance and when our common sense is telling us it's not the right thing, you're going to burn your fingers, you're making the wrong decision, Lord. But thank You, Lord, that we can grow into a place of confidence, Lord. Thank You that we can hear Your voice, Holy Spirit. And thank You, Lord, that each and every one of us, Lord, can grow into a place, Lord, where we know, we hear Your voice. We can act out of a position of absolute confidence because we know, Lord, that You're faithful. You are faithful, You are faithful, You are faithful, Lord. Lord, I pray for each and every person here today, Lord. You know what their struggles are, Lord. You know what disappointments they've got in their hearts, Lord, of past experiences, Lord. You know, Lord, what common sense is telling us, Lord, how our brains are wired, Lord. I pray that Your perfect revelation will take place today, Lord, in every person's heart, Lord. Thank You, Lord, that we know that You say in Your word that it's without faith it's impossible to please God. And Lord, our heart's desire is to be able to please You, Lord, and to be in a place, Lord, where we can confidently and easily act out of faith, Lord. But Lord, for some reason, and we don't always know what the reason is, Lord, sometimes we find it very difficult, Lord, to act out of faith, Lord. And we pray that You come, Lord, and do the surgery today in our hearts, Lord. You come and tell us, Lord. Come and do what You need to do in our hearts, Lord, to come and open our minds and understanding, Lord, that if we're in a place of confidence, Lord, that we can know and believe that Your truth is true and that we can act on what You've told us, Lord. I pray that for each and every person here in the name of Jesus. Amen.